Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Osage Baptist Church. Hope everyone's having a good day so far. If it's convenient for you, let's all stand and welcome to the folks that are out in the gym.
Thank you all for being here as well.
Our God saves. Amen.
Welcome everybody here to Osage Baptist Church this morning. Glad you'd be here. We're filling up. We're coming back here. We're I mean, we're fixing to have to start ripping some tape or something. We're getting people in here, so it's going to be a good day. So just glad you'd be here. One announcement I have, if you have a senior that needs to be recognized this year, yep, it's almost that time of year, please let Holly know so we can get everybody on the list. And also, if there's a college senior out there that this year that we need to recognize, please let us know on that as well. The first weekend of May, May 2nd, is when we will recognize the seniors. Oh, by the way, that's when we're going to recognize the seniors. We wrote it on the calendar. And we'll plan on doing it that day. And look forward to that. Cause, I mean, we got another school year almost gone, so sending them off. So any other announcements need to be made? Yeah? All right, let's open in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we can come and to be in your house. And Lord, we thank you that you do save. Lord, you do save each one of us. Lord, I just pray if there's one here today that does not know you and have our personal relationship with you, today will be that day, that you will give them the strength and the courage to step out, Lord, and just turn to you and realize that we can't go through this life without you. We turn this hour over to you as we sing praises to you. And Lord, just speak through Brother Lanny today, Lord, the words that we need to hear and take them and apply them to our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, thank you, Roger. All right, let's all stand. And as we sing, "This World Is Not My Home."
I want to be close, close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one, the great I am.
I want to hear more. children's church, you can be dismissed right now, or if you're one of the young'uns that's part of that. I don't know if you know it or not, but that's a good sound. That trumpet.
Headed back there. Turn her loose. Good. Well, it's good to see you. The 21st on Sunday night, we'll be having a business meeting, and the deacons will plan on meeting the Thursday evening at 7 prior to that, or the Thursday afternoon, and then we'll have the business meeting on Sunday, and we'll be feeding you. Easter, we're going to have a blowout. You ever hear of that before? We'll have sunrise service at 7 o'clock. And then you're going to bring your favorite breakfast dish. What is it? What is the size pan that you have to have if you're a Baptist? 8.5 by 11 or something like that. Anyway, breakfast casseroles and stuff like that, and cinnamon rolls and orange juice and biscuits and gravy and sausage and all the trimmings. Anyway, we're going to do that between sunrise service and Sunday school. Stay for Sunday school and preaching. The youth are going to do the sunrise service. They're going to be in charge. I know we're going to have music, but they're going to be doing a lot of stuff during the sunrise service, and so you want to come and be supportive of them. And then we'll not have church that night, so we're going to allow you to have some family time. If you want to make a trip or something, you'll be able to leave after church Easter Sunday morning and do that. Pray for our kids that are going to be competing today in the Bible drill competition at Pea Ridge. That's going to take place at 3 o'clock, so you want to be praying right about that time and lifting them up that the Lord will bring to their memory those things that they've worked on, studied on, and be able to make their hands nimble to be able to find those verses. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, a book in the Old Testament. The book of Isaiah, a very common passage of Scripture, one that you are probably pretty familiar with. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word, Isaiah 53, and beginning with verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I don't know what all we should read into that verse, but one thing I want to make sure of, that we understand he was one of us. He was God's Son. He was all God. And yet he was all human. And there wasn't anything that would have attracted us to him as far as his looks were concerned. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Now look at verse 10. What a strange verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Look at verse 11. And he, God, shall see of the travail of his soul, shall be satisfied. Wow. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressor, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. You may be seated. Turn with me over to the book of Galatians in the New Testament. Galatians, the 6th chapter. You might have already found it. Look at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory. What does that word mean? Some translations would put it in different terms. Means to brag. Means to have a point of brag. One grandpa said to another, he said, by the way, he said, did I show you the pictures of my grandkids? He said, no, and I sure do appreciate it. We might have a point of brag in our children or our grandchildren or something else that we have done. But Paul says here, but God forbid that I should glory or brag. Say one thing, he says, that I have a point of brag here. I have a point of glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He could have bragged perhaps in his education or his family or his background, his position perhaps at one time, but he found it only in the cross. You and I have nothing to preach outside of the cross. The church has nothing to go on outside of the cross. If we meet together and have services, if we have Sunday school, Awana, camp, vacation Bible school, whatever it might be, outside of the cross, there is no reason for us to meet. It's the cross that's the point of brag for the church. It's the only thing that the church has to stand on. And here in Isaiah, in this 53rd chapter, we see the gospel preached out. 700 years before the cross was preached. You see, there hasn't ever been a change of plan, and it's always been that way. Before the foundation of the world, before you and I ever existed, before humanity ever existed, God had a plan that would save humanity, that would make us fit for heaven, that would sanctify us. And because He knows all, He knew that we would never meet the mark. We would never meet the mark. We would fall short of the glory of God. Even though the New Testament says it, the Old Testament declares it, we would never meet the mark. And so there had to be the cross. There had to be the shedding of blood. God said that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So one perfect one had to be offered. They did the best they could as far as finding a lamb without spot and without blemish. But you know, everything in this world has some kind of blemish. You and I come with some kind of tag that says there's a little something wrong. Now, I've noticed that about you. I don't know if you've noticed it about me. There's just a little bit of something wrong. God knew it before the foundation of the world that we would need the cross. And there's that one verse in verse 11 of 53 that says that He saw the travail of His soul and it satisfied the demand. Did you see that? He saw the travail of His soul and it satisfied the demand in order for humanity to be saved. Did you know this is personal? This chapter 53 is personal for you and for me in knowing Christ as our Savior. It happened to us. The Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And so you and I had to have a Savior. Had to be one of us. The Bible says there in verse 2 that there wasn't anything. There's no beauty that we should desire Him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we, Lanny, hid as it were His face from Him. He was despised, and Lanny esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne Lanny's griefs and carried Lanny's sorrows. Yet Lanny esteemed Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for Lanny's transgression. He was bruised for Lanny's iniquity. The chastisement of Lanny's own beast was upon Him, and with His stripes, Lanny was healed. Lanny, like a sheep, had gone astray. He turned to his own way. And the Lord laid on Him Lanny's iniquity. Did you get it? Did you catch it? It was for me and for you, wounded for our transgression, according to verse 5. Jesus was wounded in every way a human being can be wounded. Doctors describe them as contusions and lacerations and bruises and punctures and incisions. When they plucked his beard and hit him with their fist in Matthew 26 and 67, Isaiah 50 and verse 6 says, already had told us that they were going to pluck his beard. They scourged him with probably a cat of nine tails. Matthew, let's look at that. Matthew 27. Look at verse 26. Am I in the right place? 27. 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall. Now we read of the crucifixion of the Lord. This is your only route to heaven, my only route to heaven. No other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. It's our route. It's our only route. There's no other way. People that want to take the blood out of the Bible, taking out salvation. There is no other way but through the blood. They took Jesus to the common hall, and they gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him. And they took the reed and they smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out of they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross. When they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he wouldn't drink. Do you know, understand why that is? It was a bit of a painkiller. So he took the full force of that. Now we know that later he did take some wine into his mouth so he could speak. But he was he took that. He refused that at that time. What verse did I get to? 35? 34. Thank you, Mama. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had... I don't think that's getting any better, by the way. This deal of losing your place and forgetting what he's going to say. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. It's sitting down, they watched him there. Turn on over to John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the last of the, look at the 19th chapter of John. Think back a little bit when we talked about Jesus giving us his peace. Because we've named all these things that he's doing for us here in 53. But he says to the disciples, "My peace I leave with you." And when he walked through the wall to where the disciples were, he said, "Peace be with you." And the Bible says that he showed them his hands and his side. Now in chapter 19 and verse 34, the Bible says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, according to verse 7 of 53. Look at 1 Peter. Do a little Bible drilling here. You know, this is the first Bible that I've had in a long time that had an index in the spiral. And I thought, I won't use that. But I forgot I'm getting older and older. I use it all the time. 1 Peter 1, 18. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers." 19 reads, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Peter understood it. Arthur Pink writes a little segment on the cross, and he says, in the Old Testament, Isaac was a type of Christ. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Isaac was the son of Abraham, and the most famous story of Isaac is what? Well, it's him being slain, at least his father was going to sacrifice him. And so here he says Isaac is a type of Christ, that Abraham lays him on the altar, and then he says he was the child of promise. You remember the story. His nativity was announced by an angel. He was supernaturally begotten. His folks were past age. He was born at an appointed time. He was named by God in Genesis 17:19. He was the seed to whom the promises were made and through whom they were secured. He became obedient unto death. He carried on his own shoulders the wood on which he was to be offered. He was securely fastened to the altar. He was presented as a sacrifice to God. He was offered on Mount Moriah, the same on which 2,000 years later Jesus Christ was offered. And it was on the third day of his trial of faith in Genesis 22:4 that Abraham received him back, according to Hebrews 11:19, in a figure from the dead, that Abraham knew even if he was slain, he would get him back. He already had that promise. He's going to be the father of many nations. Travel on through the Old Testament when we come to a place where the children of Israel, Joseph has gone into Egypt, been sold into Egypt as a slave. He raises up to the highest position next to Pharaoh. And then his family comes into Egypt, and after a few years that Pharaoh dies, doesn't know Joseph nor his family, and so his family are turned into slaves, and so they become slaves of the Egyptians. But God raises up Moses when it wasn't a good time for a boy baby to be born. It was not a popular time. They were drowning them in the river. And God raised up Moses to deliver his people. He spent 40 years getting his training out in the wilderness, herding a bunch of sheep. And then God calls him back to deliver the children of Israel from Pharaoh. Gives him several tests and opportunity to let the people go, and he decides he's not going to do it no matter what. And then this final test comes, where Moses tells him, if you don't let the children of Israel go, the firstborn in every house is going to die. And so he gives the children of Israel instructions, and he says, get a lamb out of the herd and slay that lamb and cook it every bit. Do away with it. Burn the bones. Take some hyssop. Dip it in the blood of the lamb from a bowl and strike it over the top of the door and down each side of the door. And when the death angel passes over, he will see the blood and he'll pass over you. And so with the exception of the home of the Israelites who had done that, the firstborn of every child died. And they were released. And then we come to the New Testament. John the Baptist has been born miraculously, and he's sent from God to be a forerunner for Christ, and he's paving the way, he's making the road for Christ, he's preparing the world for Christ, and he's at the Jordan River and he's baptizing folks. And Christ comes to be baptized of John. And so as Jesus makes his approach to the Jordan River, John is preaching and he sees Jesus coming. And he makes this announcement, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding. Listen to me! Dying for me! Dying for me! Dying for you! Father, forgive them. Thus did he pray. Even while his life's blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Oh, how I love him, the songwriter said, Savior and friend, how can my praises ever find end. Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue will praise Him forevermore. The songwriter continues to say, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the way. Will might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in when Christ the mighty Maker died for man, the creature sin? But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, George Bernard wrote these words, and they've been precious to us for years and years. On a hill, you know it, far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, were the dearest and best our world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I like this line. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, listen to it, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. And the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Isn't that good news? Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old. Woo! It's good, folks. I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Won't be long. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Yeah, it's coming. The trumpet's going to sound and the Lord's going to come and the dead in Christ will rise, the graves will open up, and all of those that know Christ as their Savior will be raptured out of this world because of the blood that Jesus shed on that cross. And those that do not know Him will be left behind. So I wanted to ask you today, Mike, as you come and help us, I want to ask you, would you be left behind? Or do you know Him as Savior? you can be saved anywhere you're at, driving down the road, out in the woods, out on the lake, by yourself in your room, your bedside. You can pray with your mama helping you and ask Jesus into your... You can just be saved anywhere. In a jailhouse, in a hospital bed. The thief was saved on the cross. You can be saved anywhere. This wouldn't be a bad place. This wouldn't be a bad place for you to come and receive Christ as your personal Savior today if you do not know Him. You see, the price has already been paid. Your ticket's already been bought. What you have to do is receive it. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. If you've done that and haven't yet followed the Lord in believer's baptism, then you could make that decision today to make that public. Become a part of this fellowship. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Or recommit your heart to the Lord. We need Him. You need Him. Let's stand together. As God deals with your heart, you come.
When my way groweth drear, precious Lord,
gospel. Amen. I mean, in its purest form, you heard the gospel message. And you see why this is a message worth sharing. You know, they were willing to be drugged from their homes and tortured for this. And we have it. Amen. Thank you, Brother Lanny, for that. And if you have made this decision, if you have came to this saving faith in Jesus Christ, whether, like Brother Lanny said, whether you did it laying your head on your pillow or you did it on your way home or you've done it right here and you've not come forward, please come forward and let us celebrate that with you in baptism. That's what baptism was about. So we can encourage you and we can celebrate together the decision that you've made. Promise you'll do that. Let's close in prayer. Thank you. Father God, just thank you for the simplicity of the cross. God, that even a child can receive it. And God, I just pray for those who are here who don't know you, God, that this message, that they would take it home with them, that you would keep them awake at night, that you would just not leave them alone until they come to this saving faith, Lord. God, be with us. Give us your care and your keeping as we travel home and bring us back safely tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.